everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Richard Piper. If it's the top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live, and you can be a part of it. If you have a question or if there's something you'd like to talk about, call now. The lines are open at 844-322-2742. That's the number for the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Call now, because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, you do have open lines right now at 844-322-2742. We would love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. If you have a question about a particular passage in the Word of God, maybe a problem situation that you're not sure on how to deal with, we would love to point you to the Word of God and give you some help and some hope through faith in Jesus Christ. Richard Piper is here, and we've got a great program today. I'm just excited about this time of year, just the whole story, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus. Mm-hmm. It's just the most fascinating story that has ever been lived on this planet.
Yeah.
And we get to participate in that story through faith in Jesus Christ. And I love everything that leads up to it. All the different different little events that took place. One of my favorites is called the Mount of Transfiguration. So Jesus has just asked the question of his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter stood and boldly proclaimed, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." I mean, he answered correctly.
Yes.
But this wasn't information that he ascertained through his human reasoning or intellect. This was revealed knowledge. God the Father had given Peter this information. And so to solidify it, I think this next event takes place. And Jesus took Peter, James, and John up on top of a mountain, and he was transfigured right before their very eyes. And it picks up in Matthew 17, starting in verse 2. "And he, Jesus, was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus," here's Peter opening his mouth again like he always did. He said, "Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." And he was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Now, when the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise and have no fear." And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. So here, these three guys had a chance to see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And it's interesting that Moses and Elijah appeared. I wonder how these disciples knew that it was Moses and Elijah, other than God the Father revealing that to him.
Or they were wearing tags.
Yes.
That says, "Hi, my name is..."
No. Something like that.
Yeah.
But it's interesting that these two characters show up.
Mm-hmm.
And what they represent in the story is the law and the prophets.
Yes.
So when Jesus looked at the Pharisees, he said, "You search diligently the scriptures in hopes that in them you'll find eternal life. But these are the scriptures that testify about me."
Yeah.
After his resurrection, he walks along the road with the disciples, the Emmaus Road, and they're contemplating the events that just happened, that Jesus had died, and they didn't know what took place. They just knew that his body wasn't there. And Jesus began to explain to them from all of the prophets and the law everything about him. So the Old Testament really is the story of Jesus.
Yes.
And so when Elijah and Moses show up, they are showing up as witnesses to this man named Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And the one who is transfigured before them. And then the voice from heaven just overshadows Peter like he wasn't even talking. And God the Father said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." So Jesus is God's word to man. Jesus is the one that we're to listen to. But what makes this story so interesting to me is an event that took place in the Old Testament where Moses said, "Show me your glory."
Mm-hmm.
I think that's one of the most most bold request that's ever been made by any human being that's ever lived. Moses saying, God, show me your glory. And God said, okay. And he puts Moses in the crevice of a rock, and then his glory passes by, and Moses is able just to see the end passing by.
Yeah.
But it was so glorious that it transfigured his face.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, his face radiated the glory of God. And when he went down from there and met with the people, they were frightened.
Yes.
And Moses had to veil his face. Now, it's interesting, whenever Moses met with God, went into the tent of meeting, mm-hmm. he would unveil his face.
Yes.
And he would see the, you know, just meet with him face to face, so to speak, as far as what Moses yeah. could do at that particular time. But here, it's like God brings him forward and says, let me show you the real glory. You just saw just a little bit, just what the law could emanate out there. But let me show you the real glory, the true glory, the substance of who I am. And Moses got to see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul tells that story in 2 Corinthians chapters 3 and 4. And he says he's a minister of the new covenant, not the old. And he talks about the glory of the old, how it did come with glory, but it paled in comparison to the glory of this new covenant. And then he goes on to say in chapter 4, he said that, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We can say, just like Moses, show me your glory. And guess what God's going to do? He's going to reveal to us the person of Jesus Christ. And when we look in his face, we are going to see the glory of God. And here in this story of the transfiguration, Moses got to see that. He got to see Jesus transfigured, and in so doing, he saw the very glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Amazing, amazing story. And it points forward to what we experience in full through faith in Jesus. And it all came true through the death, burial, and resurrection. And it's a powerful, powerful event, isn't it, Richard?
Yeah, it is. And you go to this passage in Corinthians, and here's Peter saying, well, I think maybe we should build some tents. And Paul says in Corinthians, well, this tent we're living in is temporary, and yet it's the temple of the living God.
Yes.
I mean, God is telling Peter, no, you don't understand. You are going to become my body, my church, my temple here on earth because of what Jesus is about to do. And no one could have imagined that. We certainly couldn't have planned it, but God has given it to us by grace.
Yes, yes, indeed. Well, this is Basic Gospel. I'm Bob Christopher here with Richard Pfeiffer today. We welcome you as well. If you have a question that you would like to ask on today's broadcast, we would love to hear from you right now, 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. Before we go to our phone lines, I want to mention our resource of the month. It's a CD that you and I mm-hmm. put together, Richard. It's called Proof. And it's all about the evidence for the resurrection. You know, faith is not just a blind leap into the dark.
Correct.
It's not turning off our brains and just accepting something without evidence. No, we've been given ample evidence. We've been given ample reason to believe the story that this Jesus was both crucified and then was raised back to life on the third day. Mm-hmm. And so we work through that evidence, and as you listen through it, you will come to the end of that with a deep conviction that this story of Jesus is indeed true historically. And because it's true historically, it has ramifications, implications, profound impact on your life today as a human being. So it's available this month for a gift to Basic Gospel. Go to basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Click on the donate button. And as you follow the instructions, be sure and request your copy of proof, evidence for the resurrection. Well, this is Basic Gospel, 844-322-2742. We would love to hear from you. Let's go now to Pontiac, Michigan, to Gary, listening to us on the great affiliate WMUZ. Hi, Gary.
Hello. Thank you. And this is a time that celebrated by Christians around the world, the crucifixion of Jesus. Yes, it was gruesome, yet that through that we receive eternal life through the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, my question is about the crucifixion. A lot of people, when they go to church, they hear or see a play in a certain way, and Jesus tells about that he would die, be buried, and be resurrected. But in John was there when Jesus was crucified, and Matthew, Mark, and Luke were not there. Is that correct?
Well, we're not 100% sure. John certainly was a witness to that. Uh-huh. Luke would have gathered that information, as he said. Mark could have been there he was related to Peter.
Mm-hmm. And lived in Jerusalem.
Yeah, and Matthew was a follower of Christ, so Matthew certainly would have been there.
Well, if you read that carefully in John, you'll see that no other man disciple was there. But here's the question I want to ask you. Now, when Jesus died on the cross, he said it'd be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth for his resurrection, and he takes the book of Jonah. But on that day of John 19:31, said it was a high Sabbath. And according to Matthew 27, the high priest was offering sacrifice for the nation of Israel, and Jesus is the Lamb of the high, that takes away the sins of the world. Have you studied that and looked at there were two Sabbaths that week that he died?
Yes, we have looked at that, and certainly there is debate on whether or not Jesus died on Friday, and certainly there are people that have explanations that would point to Friday as being the day. There are others that would say that Thursday would have been the day of his crucifixion, and I've even seen people argue that Wednesday of that week would have been the day of the crucifixion. And yes, we can get into all of those details. And
I believe it was Wednesday.
Okay.
Yeah.
And there's a reason. Can I tell why my reason?
Well, just really, really briefly.
Yeah. Okay. Number one, when he died, the people could not go to his tomb because it was a Sabbath, right? If there were two Sabbaths or even one, the woman could not go to the tomb until Saturday morning. So he had Sunday morning, actually. So I believe he resurrected on Saturday, but they could not go to the tomb. So if there were two Sabbaths, the woman could not go to where he was buried until after that Sabbath was over. Would that make sense?
Well, there's certainly some logic to that, yes.
Okay, well, number one, when we preach Christ in the Word of God, especially what Jesus said, we should be very important. So what about the part about Jonah? He'd be 3 days in the grave. How can people divide that up when everything that Jesus said was literal?
Well, Gary, you're making an argument about a date, about when. And it doesn't say. I mean, we can infer from things. And like I said, you can say it's Wednesday. Somebody else will say it's Thursday, and somebody else will say it's Friday. And we've got to step away from trying to be right or wrong about the chronology, and just come to the point and say, yes, I can make the argument that it's this date, and I can make the argument that it was this day. And yeah, I think I'm right. I think I'm 100% right on this. And your logic is very good, Gary. Your deduction is very good as far as this is concerned. But in reality, it's the event, the fact that Jesus died, the fact that he shed his blood once and for all, and that sacrifice was sufficient to take away your sins and my sins so that we could receive everlasting life. And that's what we really need to agree upon. So, Gary, you never want to be in a position to say, I'm not going to fellowship with somebody who believes that Christ died on a Friday. If you want to build a wall that divides over what you think is right and what they think is right, then you're missing the point that God is trying to draw us together through his life that he offered once for all at that cross some 2,000 years ago. So, but Gary, I appreciate your love for the Word of God and the detail in which you are reading it. And I commend you for that, and I certainly thank you for bringing this to the airwaves of Basic Gospel, my friend. We appreciate your call. God bless. Well, there's a lot of there's a lot of talk and debate on this. Like I said, I've seen it Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and the logic in all of them is there. So we come to the point and say, all right, I'm not going to fight on whether it was this day or that day. I just want to recognize that he died, that he offered his blood once and for all.
Yeah. So we've got a related question here from Manuel. Says, why haven't we witnessed Jesus after the resurrection? He showed himself to the disciples after death, but we have not witnessed him in righteousness in the modern age. Why is that?
So he hasn't appeared to us?
Correct.
Is that what,
in the
what
same the, way that he appeared to them.
Well, because he ascended, and he is now seated at the right hand of God
yes.
the Father. That is his,
and
his
place.
And
he sent the Holy Spirit
right.
in his place.
Right. So what we see today is a manifestation of his life in and through us by his Spirit. And that should be sufficient for us. So he appeared to, you know, the disciples. He appeared to some 500 people, and they became witnesses. Mm-hmm. So they took that story out there. And as we see, Thomas, for example, doubted that was true, and he needed some further evidence. Mm-hmm. I've got to see him with my own eyes. I need to put my fingers into the scars, into those nail marks, or I'm not going to believe. And then he says, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed.
Yes.
We're not going to see the physical Jesus until we go to be with the Lord, or until he returns.
Mm-hmm.
That's when we're going to see him face to face. But we experience him through his Spirit. And we see the reality of him through his Spirit, and the fact that he takes those of us who are dead in sin and makes us alive together with him. We experience that as reality. And then we get to see the power of his abiding life in and through mm-hmm. us. Like I've said on numerous occasions, when you're face to face with somebody and Christ is alive in you, and there's a tense situation or something, just the life of Christ just rises up and overwhelms that situation in such a way that he can bring reconciliation if that is needed. He can bring about healing within relationships. That's just the evidence of the life of Christ, and it is so powerful when the world looks at it and sees Christians loving one another, then they know that we truly are his disciples mm-hmm. and that he's genuine, that he's real, that he's not just a made-up story. So the evidence is powerful, and it's there through the Spirit. It's really wonderful
yeah,
to see,
it is.
Isn't it?
And this is why Jesus said, I mean, it's good for you that I go away.
Yes.
Oh, no, you can't go, Lord, you can't. He said, no, it's good that I go away because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, who's going to explain all this stuff to you. And then because of that Spirit, we get to know certain things that we could not know if Jesus was still over in Israel and I'm here in the United States. Well, big deal, he's over there. But no, the Spirit lives inside of me
yes.
and convinces me of who Jesus is and what he has done and what he is now doing inside of me to transform me from the inside out. It's an altogether better relationship than we could have if he was still physically here.
Yes, indeed. And that's part of our celebration of the Lord's Supper.
Yeah.
You know, when Jesus was here in that physical body, he was just in singular form. But then he broke his body mm-hmm. to share with us. And so as we partake, We become members of the body of Christ. And so we're everywhere. So the body of Christ is wherever we are, and that's manifested through the Spirit of God. So it is a powerful, powerful reality. So the evidence of Christ is everywhere that his body is today.
Yes.
So that's the answer, Manuel. Thanks for that. Have a YouTube question that came in. It says, can I have your views on whether Christian women should wear a head covering or not? Now, this comes from 1 Corinthians.
Mm-hmm.
Paul is talking about the necessity of women wearing head coverings. And certainly there were some cultural things happening that I think prompted him or provoked him to write in the way that he did.
This is the beauty of the body of Christ, all of us one in Christ. Prostitutes in those days shaved their heads, the temple prostitutes. And if they got saved and they showed up at the local house church, everybody knew who they were.
Yes.
And they might be uncomfortable. They could feel shame. Paul doesn't want them to feel shame. He doesn't want there to be a disruption. And so he says to the other women in the church, help these women cover themselves until such time as their hair grows back.
Yes.
And when you read it in that context, you see this as an extremely loving, merciful thing to do for someone who has had, quite frankly, a shameful past. There is no shame in Christ. There is no condemnation in Christ. There is only forgiveness and love. And now the church can minister this to each other in ways that helps everybody grow rather than, you know, breaking up into little cliques. Well, the prostitutes sit over there and the rich people over here and the poor people over there. No, that's not how it works. We are all equal. We are one in Christ.
Yeah, and here's exactly what Paul said. Since it is disgraceful for a wife to cut her hair or to shave her head, let her cover her head.
Yeah.
So that's the whole story.
That's the whole thing.
As far as this is concerned. So it had cultural connotations back in the day. And Paul was all about bringing order to worship. And this section of Scripture is really all about that.
Yes.
Richard, do we have another email question?
Yeah, one more email. We've answered this in several ways, but I think the guy asks it, Pete, asks it slightly differently. Do you teach that a person has, since the resurrection of Jesus, had their sins removed, or do you teach that sins are removed at salvation? I'm not trying to split hairs, but there's a lot of argument out there in the church. How does this work?
Well, Jesus offered his blood once for all 2,000 years ago, and there's some evidence in the book of Hebrews that said that he offered that in the heavenly realm.
Yes.
And God the Father was satisfied with that sacrifice. It was sufficient to do exactly what it was meant to do, and that was to take away sin. Now, we receive that forgiveness when we receive him.
Yes.
Because salvation is more than forgiveness. Mm-hmm. Salvation is being made alive together with Christ. So the sacrifice that removed the barrier that stood between God and man was made. It was sufficient.
Yes.
It was big enough to remove all sin. So no one has any obstacles between them and a relationship with God. It's all through Jesus Christ the Son. So when we turn to Christ, we receive him. We're made alive together with him. He comes to live inside of us. We are in him, and in him is redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So we receive that forgiveness that he provided 2,000 years ago when we receive him. Otherwise, we're just dead. I mean, if we don't receive, we're still dead.
Yeah. Remember that Jesus died in order to enable something. That was the resurrection, the coming alive in him. Otherwise, it's pointless.
Absolutely. Well, this is Basic Gospel. Thank you so much for being with us on today's edition. We'll be back tomorrow with our friend Andrew Farley. He'll be joining us. We hope you will join us as well. In the meantime, visit basicgospel.net. And when you're there, go to and make a contribution to help continue this good news of Jesus Christ. And be sure to request your copy of Proof, Evidence for the Resurrection. We'll see you tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel.